Blog Talk Radio.
Open week, the week where we will get a champion for the second major of the 2015 PGA Tour season, 2015 golf season. We will be joined by our friend Ryan Ballinger to preview the United States Open Championship coming up in a little bit. He's out there at Chambers Bay outside of Seattle. New venue, lengthy, controversial. It's going to be fun to see what he's discovered in his time on the property so far today. Fabian Gomez won the FedEx St. Jude Classic yesterday. Good on Fabian. If anybody like me is a diehard and watched what happened at the Puerto Rico Open a couple years ago, it was painful to see his loss in the 72nd hole. It was clearly his inexperience. Guys learn over time. And here's Fabian, who hadn't really done a lot, ranked 280, whatever. He kind of learned from his mistake, had been close, ended up on the web.com tour again, kind of bounced around, and lo and behold, he ends up in a St. Jude field that saw Phil Mickelson make a run on Sunday, but besides Brooks Koepka, wasn't really loaded with any names. Perfect opportunity to break out, and lo and behold, he did, and turned in his first PGA Tour victory and everything that goes with it, including that trip down Magnolia Lane next April. He's another winner from Argentina, and a great story on a day that saw Inbee Park win her sixth major and three straight women's PGA championships, formerly the LPGA championship, now the women's PGA. Just incredible stuff from Inbee Park. And somebody who clearly is the woman to beat right now in the LPGA Tour. She has won five of her last 12 majors, which is just an astounding stat. Also an astounding stat is that Stephen Curry could be an NBA champion coming up here in about 28 hours, or not going to be 28 hours, right? 30 hours from now, Stephen Curry could be an NBA champion as he will return to the floor tomorrow night in Cleveland, and his Warriors will try to end the series against the Cavs and win it in Game 6. Just too many moving and positive parts for the Warriors that are just way too deep compared to a Cavs team that just does not have enough pieces, not good enough clearly to defeat. And even if you have LeBron putting up 40, they're just not good enough to hang with the Splash Brothers and everything that the Warriors have. And Andre Iguodala, who has really played some high-quality basketball in these playoffs, and put on a great show for all the fans. But now we're going to talk about a different show, and that is the United States Open Championship. It goes to Chambers Bay outside Seattle for the first time. And joining us from Chambers Bay is our great friend from the Golf News Net and Yahoo's Devil Ball Golf blog, our friend Ryan Ballinger. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. Paint the picture. What's Chambers Bay like since you've gotten in?
Well, I haven't touched the golf course yet. I'm going to see that in about 35 to 40 minutes here and get a first look at it. But driving in, it's really fascinating because University Place, Washington, is a small residential town. And all of a sudden, it's on a big stage. And you kind of come into Chambers Bay on a two-lane residential road. It's like you're driving down Main Street of any suburb, USA. And all of a sudden you come onto Puget Sound and the view is just incredible. And it's a sprawling piece of property. It's 250 acres, maybe 275 acres, and it's just pure. I imagine what it'd be like to walk into Chambers Bay or to Bandon Dunes the first time, where you just kind of come over a bluff, and all of a sudden it's there, and it's pretty gorgeous. You can tell just looking from one high that you're going to see some dramatic things, and hopefully that's what we'll come across on TV for everybody this week, and hopefully for everyone who's going to take in this one in 4 days.
We've got some controversy. It didn't take long for the griping. Well, first of all, there's controversy in weeks leading up to it, but now that players are getting on site, we really have some controversy brewing in regards to the condition of the greens. And obviously when you have Fescue and Polana, Polana is probably a certain golfer's worst nightmare. And it looks like the USGA has this course on the edge, and the problem is it has the course on the edge on Monday, and we haven't even gotten to tournament days yet.
Yeah, I spoke with Adam Barr, who's the communications head, and we're going to have some time here with Mike Davis in about a half hour to get a better sense of the setup, what that's going to mean for comparing today to championship days, and how that's all going to play out over the course of this week. Probably the greens are going to be anywhere from 11.5 to 12.5 on the stem. Given the undulations, the size, and the bumpiness that you're going to expect with the grass blend that we have here on these greens, mostly pine fescue and some pella in there, it could irritate a lot of players very easily. I can see how that happens. And in one sense, you kind of want it then to dry out, because it might stifle some of the growth of the grass. It might make it a little bit more even. But it doesn't look that way right now based on pictures that I've seen. And when I get out there, I'll probably get the same sense that you're not going to get a pure experience in terms of the way that you roll the rock out here. You're going to need a little bit of luck. You're going to get some bad bounces, some bad hops. And you're going to have to be forced to hit the ball fairly close to the hole to expect a reasonably easy putt to get in the cup. But that's the U.S. Open. I mean, no putt is safe in the U.S. Open, and they've definitely ensured that so far.
What's interesting, Ryan, is looking from the pictures that Golf Channel has from Golf Central Live from the U.S. Open, it looks very brown, and here we are on Monday, and it looks, and I don't want to say Pinehursty, but it does have that kind of brown look that it. A brownish, very light green look that they loved last year at Pinehurst, and it does have that U.S. Open look. And it almost seems like, to me, they'd want the golf course a little greener now, knowing that the weather forecast all the way through Sunday is warm and dry.
Yeah, you would think that, and I'm not sure why they let it get to this point this early, what that portends for how they're going to be able to control it for the remainder of the championship or the championship days. Those are all good questions, and I'm not entirely sure the USGA knows the answers to those, because this is a new venue, because they've only ever played one championship under their control here before, and that one got out of control. The U.S. Amateur on the second day, I believe it was, for short play, qualifying for match play, scoring average was 79, which is, and the USGA knew that it got out of hand that week. And still here we are on Monday of championship week, where by all accounts, this place is as brown as it's going to be on Sunday. If not, it could get a little bit more brown. And if that's the case, then maybe they did this with the hope that it's going to be difficult to score all week. I'm not entirely sure, but hopefully Mike Davis will illuminate us a little bit on the setup philosophy and why we're here now as opposed to here on Wednesday or here on Thursday.
Phil Mickelson shot 65 in Memphis today, Ryan. Do you give that any credence? Do you think this is anything that can be a springboard for him, or is TPC Southwind and Chambers Bay so different that basically this is two completely different situations, even for Phil?
I mean, I think confidence is important. You can never downplay confidence. That matters a lot, especially, of course, light Southwind, where 65 means something. If this were, and it's no offense to good folks, the Travelers, but if this were up in Hartford shooting at their, River Highland 65, that's about middle of the road. but it's 55 to South, but it's a very, very good score. And I think Phil, as he said to CBS after the fact, felt he left some shots out there, which gives him some hope that he's got a higher ceiling than that 65, or a lower one, depending on how you want to describe it. So I think he's got to take something positive from that, but I don't believe there's any correlation whatsoever from how he does in Memphis and how he does in the U.S. Open, because he's had two runner-up finishes in the U.S. Open after playing Memphis in 09 and 13. And one year, in 09, he finished like T59 in Memphis. And in 13, he was on the medal stand. So far, there's no correlation between what Phil does in Memphis and what he does in the U.S. Open. I think especially less so, given what we have here in a unique U.S. Open test.
Tiger has embraced what Mike Davis wanted. He wanted guys to come out there and practice. Tiger, from all the quotes I've seen of him, seems to have embraced Chambers Bay. He's looking at his different options. He's charting things like crazy. He's playing six-hour practice rounds. His game may not be on form, but his brain seems to be on form. Do you give him any chance this week, considering what we saw at Jack's Place 2 weeks ago? I would think he'll play better than that, but if his game is not sharp, can his brain carry him to a major title?
Let me be very clear. I do not think Tiger Woods has a chance to win this thing, but I will describe a scenario where I think it is at least within the realm of possibility that this could happen. When he shot 85 in Memorial, he put four balls in a hazard off the tee, which means he cost himself essentially eight shots in that round, just with four tee shots, never mind the ones that landed on the rough and he had to punch out, never mind other balls that landed in the water. I think there was another shot that landed in the water. However, if he's in a position then here at Chambers, which is more wide open, to make himself be in better position off the tee with misses, because the fairways are wider, so he's calling off a short grass, albeit fescue, and probably off uneven lies, and if he can hit more fairways, he's going to get run out, so he doesn't need driver. He can find himself in the fairway. His iron play is not that terrible. It's not good, but it's not terrible. So if he can hit greens, which are fairly large here, and get him reasonably close to those positions where you think, all right, well, maybe you got a 25-30-footer and grind out pars and grind up the occasional birdie, I'm not saying he's going to win. There's no way. But that's the scenario where this plays out, where if he can't miss 80 yards off the tee, off the fairway, but he can miss 20. He can miss 15. And if he can do that consistently and get some run out, I think having the brain of a guy who's doing a lot of golf course architecture work around the world, he's seeing things from the architect's perspective better than ever before. And so he knows what, or at least has a better insight into what RTJ Jr. was trying to accomplish when he built this place. And that may be enough of an asset for him that it may make up for the fact that he doesn't have the kind of on-course experience here like a Jordan Spieth might, or the kind of local knowledge that Jordan Spieth's caddy, Michael Greller, has.
We will get to Mr. Spieth in a second. Since we last talked, Ryan, and we're talking to Ryan Ballengee about the United States Open Championship, Ricky Fowler got his win that he needed. He in probably what's the best Sunday so far this season, won that playoff to win the Players. He's kind of gone dormant. He had the 2-8 over at the Irish Open. He kind of hasn't piqued anyone's interest really since then. What do you think about him this week? This is a golf course that Chambers Bay and Sawgrass have almost nothing in common, but they do require precise shot making. That's obviously something which Ricky did very well down the stretch.
Yeah, I think I really like him this week for the reason you described, and also that you cannot just lollygag your way around Royal County Down. And he put himself in position time and again to make putts for birdie, which if you watch that Irish Open, there weren't a lot of guys putting for birdie an awful lot. But Ricky Fowler was one of those guys. Obviously, he didn't win, but he gave himself a chance. And I think those two things come together to tell you he can play the style of golf that's required here, where you have to fire away from pins. You're going to need to use the ground. You need to have an imagination. You need to be able to try shots. You need to have the bravado to pull them off. I think he's got all of those things. That's not to say that he's going to win. You just can't predict these things. The U.S. Open is, I think, the hardest major to predict other than the Open Championship. But he's got the right factors going for him. He's won. He's won as close as it comes to a major. On a die course that requires those kinds of shots, play well in a course that requires a lot of creativity, which is exactly what this place is. So if those things don't inspire confidence in him or in other people to think that he has a chance, I don't know what will, because I think he's got a good one.
Rory McIlroy was rolling, wins the match play. He responds to Fowler's win by the Wells Fargo win, and then he goes overseas and has some major issues. Maybe he played too much. He had to play five straight weeks. Missing the cut in his own event could have helped him in a sense, because it gave him some time off. He's had 2 weeks off. He has not played. He didn't like the 2 weeks in hindsight leading up to Augusta. It sounded like he needed it here because he had played five straight weeks and was not playing well on the back end of it. What's your read on the world number one?
I'm not sure what to read. I mean, I believe, like you did, that he's probably played a little too much. And that five-week stretch in a row where you look at how many miles he logged in the air, about 8,500 miles in the air, and that's just the air. That's not the golf. That's not anything else. That's just traveling. You and I would be exhausted if we traveled that much in 5 weeks. So then he went and played golf. He won twice, and he had to host a tournament for the first time in his life, and then he had, just before that, to defend the European Tour's most important tournament. That's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of commitment outside of just golf for one guy to take. I'm never going to paint Rory McIlroy as Tiger Woods, the guy who can just zone in for an extended period of time and deliver results regardless of the situation, regardless of geography, all of those things. So I think with a couple of weeks to just kind of lay low and just relax a little bit, that's important for him. It gives him a chance to reset the battery. We know what his strengths are. He can drive the ball extremely well and very far, and that could give him a huge edge on this golf course if you're hitting short iron and mid iron in the places where guys are typically hitting mid or long irons. I mean, it's just your typical U.S. Open advantage, and Rory McIlroy should be able to take advantage of it. Now, that said, if there's all of a sudden some unexpected wind that kicks up for a few days, I don't like his chances, because when the wind blows, Rory blows. So if that's the case, then we've got something to worry about. If it's kind of like it is out here right now, where it's really not a big wind to deal with, I think he has a very good chance. And frankly, I'm kind of scared how under the radar he is this week and what that might do to motivate him to prove that he should be on the tip of everybody's tongue when it comes time for a major championship.
Why do you think he's having so much trouble on links golf courses? This is a guy that grew up over there. This is supposed to be a specialty, but time and time again, he's played well on soft golf courses that have been conducive to his high ball flight.
I think that's the mystery of the century, don't you? I mean, I can't explain to you why a guy from Northern Ireland can't play golf in the wind. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? And sure enough, he can't. I mean, if the wind blows 25 miles per hour, you might as well just write him off. And I don't expect that to happen this week, so that he shouldn't be out of that kind of contention. But I also think it's one of those things where you get to the point where this has happened to you so many times, where the wind blows, I think, that you kind of come to believe it. I just can't play golf in the wind. I mean, McIlroy went off in 4 years ago with the Open Championship basically whining that he didn't like the Open because the weather decided the champion. I think that has psychologically gotten it an influence on McIlroy. So that's the only thing you can think of at this point, because you've got the capability to play pretty much any style of golf if he commits to it. But I also think he is so locked in with the way that he plays that he isn't like Tiger. He isn't like Phil yet, where he's willing to try to adapt his game, get rid of the high ball flight for a week, and try to play to the style that's demanded instead of trying to impose his style on the course. And once he realizes that he can do an adaptation of his game and still be successful, then I think he's even more dangerous than ever, kind of like Tiger, once he realized that long and high wasn't the only way to play golf and be successful.
talking with Ryan Ballengee about the United States Open Championship final guy that we're going to preview before we start getting into predictions. Mr. Spieth, who's caddy Michael Greller, used to caddy at Chambers Bay, got married at Chambers Bay, caddied for Justin Thomas in the amateur at Chambers Bay. This is a guy, obviously, in Jordan who won the Masters, who's obviously trended very well over the last couple of years, obviously got that epic win in Tampa this year in the playoffs. He's the guy everybody's got their eyes on, and on paper, this seems to skew his way because of his caddy experience, and as Mike Davis has said over and over again, this is a week that's going to stress experience, experience, experience. Is there a sense that he could almost be too, I don't want to say too hype, but that nothing is too comfortable, but that he's in a very unique spot because of his caddy and somehow slips up because of it? I'm not sure if that question made sense, but
almost like he's too much of a favorite, that everything's lined up too right for him. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Sure. But then again, everything kind of lined up too neatly for him at the Masters, and it worked up to the tune of a blowout victory, where he figured, oh, well, he did this last year. He's matured. He's won this year. He kind of got over that hump, contended in majors. This should be his time, right? And then he comes out next try and does it. So maybe he's fine with that. I think he's fine with hype. I think he's fine with being the favorite. I think he likes being the front runner. He's not the kind of guy that wants to win from behind. He can do it. I mean, he's done it. But I don't think he cares where he is on the leaderboard. I think he cares that he's on the leaderboard. So obviously we haven't set a leaderboard at all yet. We haven't done this at all. We haven't started this championship at all, but he's got the look of a guy that, and he was just in here 5 seconds ago, just walked out, that feels extremely confident in what he can produce and that he's going to have a good chance to win this thing. And I have no reason to believe right now that he can't or won't.
And he just said, in that press room that he wished the tournament started 2 days ago because he's hitting it so well right now. All right. You told me this morning the question you were most excited for was who has no chance. And I would have to assume that list may start with the defending champion, Martin Keimer, because he has not played very well this year.
That is correct. He has no chance to win. And, of course, you know, the current strange left got a repeat here. So there is a really interesting fact to bring up, and I don't know if it has any bearing on when this thing, it shouldn't, but kind of look back through some quirks of who's won, when they've won this championship, and go back to like the early 70s, 1972. Basically, there hasn't been more than 7 U.S. Opens played without someone winning a second or third U.S. Open. So we've gone 6 U.S. Opens without someone winning a second or third U.S. Open. So we should technically be due for someone to win another Open, add a second or third to their resume. So while I totally discount Martin Keimer's chances, I tend to kind of have this statistical reading in, so to speak, you know, a statistical tarot board that tells us that maybe somebody who's got some experience winning this thing can come out of here with a victory in another U.S. Open.
Who else don't you think has a chance to win this thing?
I put Bubba Watson in my rankings this week because the things that he does well should play well here, but we'll just have to see how much he whines about the place. But he seems so far to be interested in this venue. Will that change in 3 days' time? Probably. But at least for right now, he's kind of playing it up like he likes Chambers Bay and like he won't mind being here. And if that's the case, then he deserves to be on the list. But if he changes his attitude, he's like kind of somewhat expect, then he has no chance to win.
And for me, the guy that I don't think has a chance to win is any of the guys who just got in, the Kevin Kisners, the Kevin Chappells. These guys have had no time to go out there and practice. It looks like Mike Davis was right. And for me, and for the guys who qualified last week, nothing personal, but I don't see how they win.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption. I think you can make the cut. Just play good, solid, grinding golf for a couple of days, you can make the cut. Especially Kessler, who's got a great short game. But Otherwise, no. I mean, unless the guys who just got in, other than Kisner, I think have no chance to even really make the cut. But I think Kisner has the least chance to post a top 20 finish or something like that, although I'd be utterly shocked if he figured out how to win this thing.
Who's your sleeper?
Ryan Palmer. I'm all over Ryan Palmer. I know he's the 26th ranked player in the world, or 29th, or whatever he is this week. But nobody is talking about Ryan Palmer. And you can get him right now at 125-1 to win the U.S. Open, which is pretty unbelievable because he fits the profile of a guy who can win this championship. He's long enough, middling enough. He just really won a whole lot. I mean, he kind of reminds me of a Lucas Glover, Angel Cabrera type. That all of a sudden, hey, this guy's going to win this thing. I think he could do it. I have no really other inclination other than he's playing pretty well, and he kind of fits that profile of a guy not ranked extremely high that doesn't register with everybody, but that golf heads will go, yeah, he could win this. So I kind of like Ryan Palmer a lot.
He hangs around. This may be too sappy, but I really like Michael Putnam. He hit the first ever shot at Chambers Bay when the course opened. He's hitting the first shot off the first tee on Thursday. Maybe it's Michael Putnam.
Hey, why not? I mean, he knows his course. It is a place where, I mean, this hasn't happened in the U.S. Open in 45 years where you show up and no one really knows the joint. So he's one of the few guys that has the local knowledge and knows what to do. I mean, you can't discount that. That means a lot. And maybe it'll mean a lot come Sunday.
Who is your champion for the United States Open Championship?
I'm going to go two out of two this year. I'm going to give another one to Spieth. I just think his game travels so well, and that whatever this course turns into by Sunday, he'll be able to roll with it better than anybody else and be able to adapt. And hopefully we won't get a seventh Phil Mickelson runner-up finish, and he'll just kind of top 10 or something like that. But I think this is Spieth's time. This is his chance to grasp control of the sport, at least temporarily, from Rory McIlroy until he figures out what he needs to do to get the job done for the rest of the year.
I can see that. I can certainly see that. I have not made a pick. I don't know who to pick. Yeah. I don't know how it's going to play. I'm still gathering information. Right now,
no, I'm not telling you that I'm really confident about it. But
yeah, and I'm going to go out on a real big limb here. I'm going to say Sergio, and I really don't know why, but I'm just going to say Sergio. But I'm going to go one step further. There's a block of tee times, nine guys who are in the who go off at 8:06 and 8:17 on Thursday. Matsuyama, McDowell, Kuchar, Stenson, Molinari, Snedeker, Dustin, Adam Scott, Sergio. I would not be surprised if the winner comes out of those nine guys.
I noticed those times too, and I thought something similar. That was kind of like the she wanted to be teeing off. That if, and this is a big if they can feed off of each other a little bit, then maybe they could push each other toward the top of the leaderboard. But then all it takes is one guy to ruin it for everybody else in each threesome. So I think, especially in the U.S. Open, having some sense of momentum in the group is really important, unless you're just blowing the field away like Keimer did last year. But if you're in a position where you're in a three ball and two of the guys are just dead to right, five holes into the championship, it's really hard to sustain that for another 31 holes. So, like you said, having those quality players all pretty close to one another, I think that's an opportunity for at least two of them to feed off of each other.
Ryan Ballingy, Yahoo Golf, and also the Golf News Net. I hope you have comfortable walking shoes because I hear it's a hard walk.
I hear it is too, but I do have the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn, so hopefully they'll hold up over 4 days and we'll have ourselves a good week here.
Have fun, buddy.
Thanks, Jeremy. We'll see you.
That's Ryan Ballingy, and that is today's Teeing It Up. If you're in the path of these nasty summer storms, stay dry. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals Game 6. Enjoy NBA Finals Game 6. We will see you right back here, same time, same place, next week on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Net Radio Network.